This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Noon Business Hour on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Rob Hart for Chris Kreidel. Mostly sunny skies in Chicago, 88 degrees, topping out at 91 today. We would break yet another record, the record of 90, set back in 1998. The AccuWeather forecast is coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by GWC Law. Let's kick things off with an update of the markets at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Rob, not a whole lot of movement on Wall Street today, but we are edging higher. The Dow up 14 points at 22,309. NASDAQ up 13 now. That's good for a gain of 0.2%. S&P adding 3. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up more than 0.1%. Consumer confidence eased this month from the second highest level since late 2000. Attitudes deteriorated in those states impacted by Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. That from the Conference Board. Home prices up more than expected for July. That from the Case-Shiller Index. In Chicago, prices rose 3.3% compared to last year. Equifax's CEO has resigned. Richard Smith presided over a quadrupling in the company's stock price and, of course, that data breach, which impacted nearly half the country. Congress is still expecting him to testify at a hearing on the breach 1 week from today. Nike is giving investors one less reason to kick it around. It'll stop reporting something called futures orders. Nike allows retailers to place their orders months ahead of delivery at current prices. It says these orders are no longer a reliable indicator of the company's future performance. Stock in Nike after posting results down about 0.1%. Back to you, Robin, Cisco.
And we will break down the housing figures, both at home and abroad, when we take a look at the numbers coming up at 12:09. We'll also talk about consumer confidence and some Federal Reserve economists sounding some alarm bells as they look to the future. And then at 12:19, we'll talk about the drug shortage, the prescription drug shortage on Puerto Rico as the island tries to come back from its direct hit from Hurricane Maria.
All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Reports on home sales and prices are out today, along with the latest reading on consumer confidence. We're joined by Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg, based in New York. Carl, welcome back to the program. Let's start off with the report of new home sales. The Commerce Department saying today that new home sales decreased 3.4% last month. That's the lowest level since December 2016. How much of that is hurricane related and how much of that is other factors?
Well, we've been on a bad streak and it's only going to get worse. Mind you, this was August data. And so we saw overall about a 3.5% decline, 3.4%. In the South, which would include the Houston area, we saw a 4.7% decline. And the South is particularly important as a contributor to new home sales, as there's a lot of building activity in that region. For instance, in the Northeast, there's a lot of resales, not new construction. So we can say that, yes, the Hurricane Harvey, that is, had a big impact, but that storm came relatively late in the month. It was about the 25th of August that it made landfall. So that showed some disruption in August, but I suspect the September numbers will be even more depressed by Hurricane Harvey, and add into that Hurricane Irma. So while August was bad news, September is going to be even worse news.
Let's talk about the Case-Shiller home price list for Chicago. That year over year, home prices in the Chicago area were up 3.3%, but that is still dead last in terms of growth among major metro areas. What's going on there?
Well, what we're seeing across the board is basically an inventory shortage driving up prices. And especially if we look to the coasts, we see a faster pace of price appreciation in California and also on the East Coast. And so what's happening is that we're in an economy that is maturing. That means households are having more income to potentially devote towards home purchases. And also we have banks that are becoming increasingly willing to lend. The third hidden wave is the fact that a lot of people who went through foreclosures back in the depths of the housing bust, 2009 and 2010, are now effectively 7 years out from the housing crisis, and so their credit scores are clearing and improving. That means there's a lot of demand for housing, and that's causing a nationwide bid to home prices. But as you highlight with the Chicago area, it's not evenly distributed.
What would good growth be in home prices? What would you like to see? And I'm thinking specifically so that we don't get in another situation where there's a bubble.
Right. So home prices, we want to see rise basically in line with nominal GDP growth, which is about 3.5 to 4%. So what you see in the Chicago region, for instance, is healthy. In other markets where we're seeing some double-digit gains, that certainly will not be sustainable in the long run.
All right. Carl Riccadonna, always appreciate you being with us. Carl is chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. Coming up, how Hurricane Maria could have a big impact on the availability of some prescription medications.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The FDA is warning of potential shortages of some key drugs now that Hurricane Maria has shut down the pharmaceutical manufacturing industry in Puerto Rico. Let's learn more from Jared Hopkins, pharmaceutical industry reporter at Bloomberg News in New York. Jared, first question. I think a lot of folks may not know that Puerto Rico is a significant hub for the pharmaceutical manufacturing industry. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. The pharmaceuticals manufactured and distributed in Puerto Rico, actually about pharmaceuticals represent about 72% of Puerto Rico's 2016 exports, and about 25% of U.S. pharmaceutical exports come from Puerto Rico. So in addition to the rest of the world where we get a lot of pharmaceuticals imported, Puerto Rico is a big center of that.
So explain now the challenges now that this hurricane has caused such damage on the island.
Yeah, so it's still in assessment mode for a lot of these manufacturers, just about any drug company that you can think of, whether it's Pfizer or Bristol-Myers or Eli Lilly, have manufacturing facilities down there. Many of them had closed last Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, in anticipation of the hurricane. Some have said that they sustained minimal damage or kind of moderate damage to their facilities, but are still assessing it and trying to figure out where we go from here, or where they go from here.
And when we're talking about a drug shortage, when will we start seeing this at the drugstore, at the pharmacy?
So we are probably a bit of a ways if we are going to see that. This may be a case of the FDA being proactive and trying to get ahead of this. But these are multinational, you know, obviously some of the biggest companies in the world, and they plan for hurricane season every year. So in terms of a shortage, or they have contingency plans, and that's what a lot of companies have said so far. In addition, you have wholesalers. The three largest wholesalers control about 90% of the market in the U.S. They, too, are down there. They, too, are assessing the situation and what that means in terms of shortages. So while the FDA is probably being proactive here, they are taking measures to help redirect production and preserve and ensure that treatments do get to the U.S. and to patients. But we're probably months, if not longer, from seeing something major like that.
So it does sound like there's a great deal of slack in the supply chain.
Yeah, you know, these are, it's kind of a, it's a, the healthcare system is, you know, what is it, like a fifth or sixth of the economy in the U.S.? I mean, it does kind of touch upon every area, but distribution and wholesaling is something that a lot of these companies are intimately involved in and trying to plan for. In terms of Puerto Rico, they have been there for a number of decades. They actually entered at the beginning because of tax breaks for a lot of these manufacturers. But it's well entrenched. It's a huge part of the economy down there. Hundreds, thousands of employees that are often now at these facilities with these companies trying to assess. I mean, they're running a lot of these drug maker manufacturers now down there are actually running on backup power generators with these manufacturing plants. So we'll see. We'll see how how it plays out.
Hey, Jared, very quickly. So is there a chance some of these pharmaceutical companies, because this could be months of problems in Puerto Rico, could they shift production permanently to other areas?
That remains a possibility. Yeah, that is a possibility. But it's important to keep in mind that a lot of manufacturing for pharmaceuticals already is done outside of Puerto Rico and outside of the U.S. as well. So other parts of the world already do that. But that is a possibility that has been discussed. But a lot of these companies, because of the number of employees and the piece of the economy that relies on Puerto Rico's drug making at 72% of its exports, the companies want to stay there in the sense of and keeping their production and maintaining what they had there.
Thanks a lot, Jared Hopkins, pharmaceutical industry reporter with Bloomberg News based in New York. Up next, the latest numbers from Wall Street.
WBBM News Time 12:25. All the latest numbers from Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the gains for the NASDAQ are growing to about 0.3% now. Here's where we stand. The Dow adding 12 points at 22,309. NASDAQ higher by 23 points. S&P up 4. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is gaining 0.2%. More NFL corporate sponsors are speaking out. Ford, Under Armour, and Anheuser-Busch InBev issued statements that affirmed NFL players' rights to kneel during the anthem, while also noting those companies support the flag. The owner of Jim Beam has stepped back from its goal of almost doubling annual revenue by 2020. Japanese food and beverage giant Suntory Holdings has been facing a slowdown in its home market as the population there ages. The company said it may take until 2022 to get there. Now let's check on the grain market with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
And we've had a two-sided trade here today, most of the day lower on corn and beans at the moment. Corn down a penny in December at 3.52¾. It's at a big 3.25 cent range from up 1¾ to down 1.5. Beans have been down 8 to up 3 at the moment. November's down 6.5 at 9.64¾. And wheat's been down 2 to up 6¾ the moment. December up 1¾ at 4.55¾. Harvest pressure helping hold corn and beans lower. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Rob Hart for Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are slightly higher. We'll see what's happening on the markets.
Changes at the top as credit reporting agency Equifax deals with a major compromise of customers' personal information.
Travel Tuesday, a look at the cruise industry and what's been a very active hurricane season.
The NFL and Facebook get together on a multi-year worldwide programming partnership.
A suburban high school suspends its football program due to a possible hazing incident, while a city school cancels the rest of its season because it doesn't have enough eligible players.
WBBM Business, the Dow is up 13 points, the S&P 500 up 4, and the NASDAQ is up 24.
Beautiful sunshine in Chicagoland all day long, and another hot one, maybe the last one for a while. High of 91 degrees. Right now, 88 O'Hare, 89 Midway, 87 along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by Rush University Medical Center.
Equifax CEO Richard Smith has suddenly retired in the aftermath of a huge data breach. Let's find out more about the incident from Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and members of the Secret Service Electronics Crimes Task Force based in Chicago. Jerry, welcome back to the program. Richard Smith has retired, but would it have been possible for him to lead the company out of this crisis?
No, I would suggest not. Confidence that consumers have in the existing management staff has just eroded. And actually, the top three individuals in the company are all leaving at this point. Obviously, more than just a retirement.
And even after the breach itself, there were a number of things that occurred after that that wouldn't necessarily lead one to be confident in his leadership. When you're talking about the disclaimer that you gave up your rights to join a class action lawsuit, the site that directed somebody to a phishing site. I mean, there were a lot of missteps after that, after the initial announcement.
Right. And, you know, I would suggest that the CEO himself probably had little to do with those. However, he does, ultimately, hold the responsibility and have the responsibility of providing the oversight. The chief information officer and security officers, I would suggest they need to go for sure. You know, the issue of trying to get people to believe that they would have no ramifications, no liability recourse by going in and signing up for their free protection was just a bad idea and would never have held up in court. There were a lot of really bad ideas out there. The other of being transferred to another website via a phishing scam, that's also something that the chief security officer and their security team should be held responsible for.
Jerry, as you've been looking at some of the nuts and bolts of the Equifax breach, have you seen certain things that went wrong that maybe you would advise other companies to look out for so they don't have something similar happen?
Yeah, the number one reason that this occurred is because there was a vulnerability, a known vulnerability that existed in their application. Now, their application is a component of Apache. Apache is a very common web application that probably every company in the world uses. So the most important thing is to always make sure your systems are updated, that you're installing all of the patches and the security updates that are being offered to you. Microsoft goes so as far as having a known update the second Tuesday of every month, known as Patch Tuesday, to update all that stuff for you. But other applications don't do that in an automated fashion. So you have to have the policies, processes, and standards in place to make sure that your configuration management and your patch management is occurring.
Thanks a lot, Jerry Irvine, CEO of Prescient Solutions and a member of the Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force based in Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us on the program today.
Markets have a little movement down for a while this morning, now barely in positive territory. Let's see what's going on. Gary Kaltbaum is joining us, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management based in Orlando. Gary, what do you make of what's going on today?
A quieter day. Remember, the NASDAQ got hit hard yesterday. It's rebounding a little bit today, but not much else is going on. The big story is, as predicted, Janet Yellen is talking easy money again, saying that maybe they're not going to raise rates as quick. And they also had another Fed head out yesterday saying if things head south, we can always print more money. And I'm using my words. They call it quantitative easing. So they're going to continue to try and backstop the market. And it's been a success for quite a while.
Let's talk about the big controversy everyone's been talking about for a while now, and that is this national anthem controversy. Nike is now saying that it stands with the NFL players who are taking a knee during the national anthem. Other companies are trying to be a little more careful and saying they're sort of with both sides. Kind of challenges for big companies here on which side they take and how they handle this.
Not an easy thing to do, especially when the president of the United States is out front and center on it. But I have a sneaking suspicion for them, at least, it'll quiet down. They're in what I would call a no-win situation. So what you do is you take the middle road, and that's what basically most of them do. And there's nothing wrong with taking the side of the players. There's nothing wrong about taking the side of both the players and the flag. And I don't think there's really going to be any repercussions for any at this point.
Well, one thing about life in 2017 is that the news cycle can almost be measured in microns. And what is a controversy today is forgotten tomorrow, because it was only 2 weeks ago when somebody on Ted Cruz's social media team liked a tweet he shouldn't. That was a big deal for a day, and now it's a trivia question.
Needless to say, be careful what you tweet. Be careful what you send. Be careful what you say right now, because communication is a whole different life story at this point in time. And I think Donald Trump recognizes that, and that's why he's doing his tweets, good or bad. And we've seen a lot of things happen to people that were not careful enough. Jobs have been lost. People have gone to jail. So it's a great lesson for everybody out there. At least myself, I don't do any of it, so I just stay away as much as possible.
Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. You can find him online at his website, GaryK.com. Thanks, Gary. Always appreciate you being with us. Ahead, it's Travel Tuesday. Help for cruise passengers as the industry deals with an intense tropical storm season.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour. A busy hurricane season has featured storm after storm moving through the Caribbean, some making landfall in the U.S. Let's see how the cruise industry is dealing with the challenge. We welcome Henry Hardevelt, travel industry analyst, founder of Atmosphere Research Group based in San Francisco. Henry, what sort of an impact have we seen on cruises? Are there fewer of them happening these days?
Well, no, the cruise lines want to and need to operate as many of their scheduled cruises as they can. Obviously, they had to cancel several when Irma and Maria, the two big hurricanes, hit. The greatest impact has been to the Eastern Caribbean. And so ports of call, such as San Juan, Puerto Rico, St. Thomas, and St. Martin, have been seriously affected. Some of the lines have had to cancel their stops at these destinations. They are usually working to find acceptable and practical and appealing alternatives, destinations, and they communicate with the customers as those changes are made.
Got to be a challenge, too, not only for customers, also for employees who work on the ships but live in these Caribbean islands.
It is. It is a challenge for the, it's not just the employees. There are people who work at the ports. There are the people who do the tour guides. I mean, obviously, there's been massive devastation on many of these islands. Cruises and tourism in general are critically important to the Caribbean, and we're coming up to the all-important winter travel season. The islands, the different countries in the Caribbean all want to try to get back on their feet, but it's going to be a race, and it's going to be a tough one.
Based on previous hurricanes and previous storms that have devastated some Caribbean ports of call, how long does it take for some of these destinations to get back up and running to accommodate cruise ships and tourists once again?
Well, that's a good question. We have never seen hurricanes quite as strong as this. Puerto Rico has really been just leveled, if you will, by destruction. So it will probably take them a long time. I don't think San Juan has ever seen anything quite as bad as this. St. Martin, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and other destinations are working hard. First they have to make sure the ports themselves are clear and safe for the ships to dock. They have to make sure there's adequate fuel, but then they have to make sure that they can safely accommodate the passengers. The shops have to be there with the inventory, restaurants, and other attractions and services. So it's no one thing there. You know, the port, it starts with the port and fueling, but it branches out. These destinations really have to get their act together. They don't have a long time frame because the cruise lines are sitting there saying, where do we go? And they're going to be making decisions that could affect the rest of their Caribbean winter itineraries within probably the next 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, for a long, long time, could be an earnings hit as well. In fact, Carnival Cruise Lines today announced hurricanes could drop 10 to 12 cents per share from earnings in the fourth quarter.
Thank you very much, Henry Hardevelt, travel industry analyst and founder of the Atmosphere Research Group based in San Francisco. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, Facebook and the NFL announce a major partnership.
News that makes you money.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The NFL and Facebook have forged a global content deal. Let's get the particulars from Tom Lason, president of New Media Solutions and NewMediaSolutions.tv, based in Seattle. Tom, what's going on here?
Well, sports is king. That's what's going on. And Facebook is doing the same thing the broadcast networks have done, which is to really rely on the big event to drive viewership. Granted, in this case, it's not live. They are going to be highlights that come post-game. But point being, Facebook grabbing on the shield and this large brand, two huge brands trying to, you know, expand their reach. It's a two-year deal. Terms of it are undisclosed. But here's the big thing that I kind of find interesting is that Facebook is going to sell inline ads in these highlights and mic'd up segments that NFL Films is going to be producing for the watch tab there in Facebook. And the thing about those inline ads, as you well know, is that just as the quarterback rears back to throw and the ball is in the air, they can spin you an ad as opposed to a post-roll ad that used to be able to skip. So they're getting smarter.
And how is this different from just a fan going to a team's website and sharing a highlight themselves?
It's fewer steps. It's going to have the Facebook interface, so it'll be easier to share and to message and help drive some of that engagement. I think one of the most interesting things I've seen kind of on that point is the fact that a lot of this content is not going to be live. It's not going to be available until after the game. So it really kind of does make me question the whole second screen concept that we've talked about over the years in terms of kind of, you know, having two things going at once. And I think that's where the NFL is still going to be keeping folks in their ecosystem. And then once the games are over, turning them over willingly to Facebook to remonetize things like highlights.
Thanks a lot, Tom Lason, president of New Media Solutions and NewMediaSolutions.tv, based in Seattle. Coming up next, check the markets.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. All the latest from Wall Street, sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialists. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco gains across the board, the Dow up 26 points, NASDAQ higher by 26, or 0.4%, S&P adding 5. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is gaining 0.25%. Many have wondered in the days following all the hurricanes if people booked to go on cruises are canceling those plans. Well, now the world's largest cruise company says that while there have been cancellations, there haven't been many. In its earnings conference call, Carnival says it's seen only a 1% cancellation rate since the storm. Carnival reporting higher earnings and revenue for last quarter, and Carnival shares are higher by 3.5%. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.